Welcome to Grace Baptist Church this morning. Glad you're able to be strong enough to get out of bed. And most of you probably took a little nourishment before you came, and we're glad you're here. Let's bow together in prayer as we begin. Dear Heavenly Father, it is by your kindness and your graciousness that we do have strength to be able to come and to fellowship here together, this place which you have allowed us to gather together in. Father, that we might be able to continue as we have before to bring praise to you, and that we might be able to worship your holy name and your kindness and the greatness that you are. We're so grateful, Father, that we might be able to spend time in the scriptures, that we might be encouraged and established and strong and steadfast in that which you've given to us. Thank you so much. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, I'd like to, with fear and trepidation to some degree, continue on what I started on Wednesday night. And with this in mind, Wednesday night we started talking about the question of how is your mind? Is your mind thinking straight? Is it thinking things through from God's point of view, or is it that which is confusing a little bit of the world with a little bit of the things of the Lord? And that's something that we need to be very, very careful about, that we don't mix things of the Lord with things that we've learned as children, or as things we've learned on the radio, or through our friends, or through the newspapers or magazines or whatever might be coming along. And we need to guard our minds to make sure that they are strong. And so I ended Wednesday night with a portion of an article regarding women. And in particular, there's two people who are involved in the news in the forefront. And I guess the underlying issue is there are people who are saying that there's a war on women, and some people are fighting it from this point of view and other people are fighting it from that point of view. And the two people who are involved in this news article, neither one of them, from our perspective, as we would say, based upon our statement of faith, probably neither one of them are likely to have any of or much Christian background from their perspective. And so I will name them now. One is Michelle Goldberg, who is a lady who is involved with one of the news networks, and she's a commentator. And then the other is Ann Romney, who is one of the political candidates' wives. And so I'm not really taking up either's side in this as we make this discussion, but I wish to take the issue that's involved here and to think through this kind of thing, because it's important for us to be able to discern those things which are put forward, and then we have to discern, okay, now the third issue that's involved here is, what's God's point of view? When any time there's a discussion or an issue that comes before us. And we're going to find all kinds of things like this that are going to come probably between now and the end of the year. But if we start thinking in our minds, now, what is God's perspective on all of this? And are any of them taking any points of truth? Are they moving otherwise? When a person makes a statement, how does this fit in with general truth? Remember now, truth always comes from God, the Creator. If it is not from God, the Creator, it's not truth. And so now we have people who will line up or line up for or line up against that which is the opinion of God, our Creator. And how do we, in our minds, hold to that which is spoken? How do we react to that which is spoken by different people? And if people who maybe not even be from a Christian perspective yet hold things that are in agreement with God the Creator, even though they may be from a technical pagan background, how do we react to these kinds of things? And so this is something that we've been faced with all of our lives, and yet probably in this summer and fall we're more likely to be faced with basic issues, and we need to think how we as individuals are going to react to these kind of things. I'm going to lay out the argument first, and then I think it's time for us to start saying, okay, now what is God's opinion in relationship to this argument, and what are the fundamental issues relating to women, and in particularly motherhood, because all of this came up because last Sunday was what? Mother's Day, okay? And so with this in mind, Michelle Goldberg, according to one headline, compared Ann Romney to Hitler and also to Stalin. Directly, no, but indirectly, yes. And so then one of the news articles came on. MSNBC guest Michelle Goldberg calls Ann Romney insufferable, mocks an op-ed on motherhood as creepy. And so I thought maybe you'd like to maybe hear some of the words of the article that Ann Romney made. And Ann Romney wrote an article that says there are three seasons of motherhood. The first season of motherhood is that when a woman is a child, she is raised under a particular circumstance of situations, and this, in a sense, prepares her, or maybe doesn't prepare her, for motherhood. And she indicated that she was basically a tomboy in the way she did things. She was out hunting for snakes and various critters underneath rocks, and when she was involved with a group of people, she was often the instigator of trouble more than she was the arbitrator of things such as are like this. And so she indicates that her mother didn't particularly mind her doing this, and so she had somewhat of a life in this direction when she was a child. And then when it came time for motherhood, she indicated that when the first child was born, that she said, I've never held a baby before up to this point until I had my own. And so her mother came and stayed with her for two or three weeks. I forgot the exact length. And when it was time for her mother to decide that it was time to go home, she said, okay, it's all yours, after showing her the ropes that she experienced for a couple of weeks. And she said, wait a minute, I cried like a baby because I was, I didn't know what to do with this kid, this first boy that I had. And for the most part, I don't doubt that there could have been many who are in this congregation who were mothers that they would say much the same thing. You know, where's the instruction book to this kid? Even though I've been around and babysat or done a little this and that, when it's your own, all of a sudden all of this falls on you at the very beginning. I imagine that for the most part there were all kinds of questions that came up in the mind, even those who were reasonably experienced. But here's Ann Romney, had never even held a baby, never babysat in all of her life until the first baby came. Well, her mother said, he's yours, do it. Figure it out. And this is the status that it was. And so then she raised a number of children. And now she's a grandmother who has, I think they said, 18 kids, grandchildren, up to this point. And that's a pretty good number. There's not a lot of people who have 18 grandchildren right off. And there's a few maybe that can say that. But so now it's the third part of the life that's involved there. And so she talks about a tradition of lilacs where her husband brings her lilacs on Mother's Day and various things like this. And so she goes on down, and then in the last paragraph, and this is probably the one that catches it in the criticism that comes, she says it's entitled, even the sentence before it says, "The hardest thing for us all, I think, is that we lose our moms." And then she goes on and says, "The crown of glory," that's the title of the next paragraph, "cherish your mothers, the ones who wipe your tears, who were at every ball game and ballet recital, the ones who believed in you, even when nobody else did, even when maybe you didn't believe in yourself. Women wear many hats in their lives, daughters, sisters, students, breadwinners, but no matter where we are or what we are doing, one that mothers never take off is the crown of motherhood. And so there is no crown more glorious." Now, I would probably believe that for the most part, most of you people who are in here in this particular audience would say, "Well, that's kind of nice, that she was respectful and caring in this sense." Well, then we go to Michelle Goldberg, who says that they were in an interview relating to attachment parenting. And I expect that my skepticism toward Bill Sears would spark an angry backlash from many hyper-involved mothers who live in Brooklyn, in my Brooklyn neighborhood. I incidentally started a different sort of an uproar. One of the shows was the saccharin op-ed that Ann Romney published in USA Today. Three Seasons of Motherhood. The main point I wanted to make about it is that our society offers mothers a deal, that we don't give them what we don't give them in tangible support, we make up for in insipid panians. As the host, Krista Hayes, said, we do the same thing to our military veterans. At the policy level, the United States offers mothers very little. We're unique in not having mandatory paid maternity leave, for example, and we have the highest maternity mortality rate of any developed country, but our elites are incredibly generous in their rhetoric, constantly assuring us in the most florid way possible that motherhood is the most important and valuable job in the world. So now you can see the trend of the criticism that's in relation to the op-ed. She says, "I got in trouble, however, by saying that Ann Romney's closing lines about how there is no crown more glorious than the crown of motherhood reminded me of the pronatalist propaganda of the World War II era totalitarian regimes. That was a mistake. Not because I didn't think it was true when I read Ann Romney's words. I immediately thought the motherhood glory medals of Stalin gave to women who had lots of children, and of the Nazi call to motherhood, which Hitler called women's highest exaltation. To me, bombastic codes or odes to traditional maternity had a sinister ring." Now, isn't that an interesting comment? Had a sinister ring when you're honoring motherhood. Okay, especially when they came from people who want to curtail women's rights. Now, I didn't see anything in Ann Romney's article relating to curtailing women's rights at all. And so we have this interpretation that's made of an article and of the presumption of who they are that's going on here. But it was an offhand point and one that wasn't worthy of aggravation it caused. Well, now, her comments weren't offhand. They were based upon her pre-planned understanding an opinion of what motherhood is or should be and the relationship of it in our nation. So it goes on, and And I'm going down to one of the last statements here that she had. So my apologies aren't for Amnromney, but for everyone else. I'm truly sorry to have given the right a pretext, another tedious spasm of feigned outrage. And so Amnromney responded to her and said that she didn't think this was a fair thing at all. So it has stirred up a teapot tempest that now dominates the increasingly dispirited world of political journalism. I am especially sorry if I've done anything to strengthen the conservative myth that liberals disdain motherhood. I certainly don't. As it happens, I'm hoping to have a baby of my own very soon. When I do, like most mothers I know, I'd much prefer accessible daycare, quality public schools, affordable health care, to a metaphorical crown, however glorious it may be. So now we see two different opinions that are out here. And I think this is important that we think this through and we look at the two sides a little bit that are presented here. I think I've read a representative portion of both articles and given background to it. And so now here we are as those who are part of Grace Baptist Church, and we also have personal opinions that are in our own hearts and minds. And I'm going back to the issue that we had on Wednesday night. How is your mind? How are you thinking through things like this issue that's here, motherhood and what's involved here, and womanhood even perhaps would be involved here? Is there a battle, a warfare against women that's involved? And where is this warfare taking place, and who are the combatants, and who's right and who's wrong? Because there's always, now keep this in mind, if God has an opinion and he's the creator, he's also almighty, he's also all-knowing, and he's also all-powerful. If he's all-knowing and he created these things, this place where we live, his opinion always is right because he is holy and he's perfect and he is never changing, eternal. That's by definition truth. And that's by definition right and wrong. It always comes from him. And so there is a right and a wrong opinion in this kind of an area. Now we may take a little bit here and a little bit there and work on them, but we have to think through these kinds of things when we are considering how we respond to any kind of a series of arguments or debate that's taking place. And we have to think through the backgrounds of the people that are involved here and the backgrounds of how we're going to respond. Now, I would like to ask Michelle Goldberg, who is a columnist in this sense, what is her background, and how would we categorize her when she says that Ann Romney has taken this kind of an issue and has milked the situation of Mother's Day to just her advantage, and really she's just out in left field as far as Michelle Goldberg is concerned. I'm going to ask this question first. Did Ann Romney, in this sense, milk a holiday that would be any different than anyone else that you would expect in your background and your group of people? Okay, I'm getting a shake of a head no. But we need to go further than this. Why? If it's no, why? If it's yes, why? We need to talk this out. Now, I can wait you out just as much as you can wait me out. I mean, I've got 25 minutes to wait. Let's start talking on this. Because it's important that we discuss these things. We discuss it with our minds. And we don't have to get into an emotional fight on this, but we need to discuss it and think these things through. Because this is a real issue that's before us. That was a different lady. But in a sense, Michelle Goldberg did bring that up in one of, yeah, Ann Romney never worked. Now, what does that mean, she never worked, when we say that? Let's talk about this a little bit. Okay. She didn't work for pay out in the business world. And now, Michelle Goldberg did work for pay out in the business world. Now, she's a lot younger, too, if you look at the picture. She's probably maybe 30.
She's also not a mother yet.
She's also not a mother yet.
Opinions change when you become a mother.
Sometimes, but not always. Okay, yes. Okay. Your priorities change when you're not a mother. She's saying because you're not first, you're going to have to focus upon others in many of the things that take place in your life. That's interesting. She didn't mention in the article what she thinks of her own mother. Now, what is... Okay, the Bible says to honor your father and mother in Ephesians. It's going to be difficult a little bit because here's an area where this particular issue wasn't mentioned or brought up in current concern of Michelle Goldberg. We're going to be talking by an omission of information rather than knowing really where she is standing on this. But when later on she talked about, I will have or plan to have a child, what is that statement, I will plan to have a child, how is that different than maybe what some of us would say when we're talking about having children? She's focusing on herself. So what's missing there? Okay, the idea of a father is missing. So now she said we're supposed to honor father and mother. And if you read through the scriptures concerning biblical opinions, now we're talking about motherhood and families, when we're talking about that, what is the issue that's come up largely in our society in the last 10, 15, 20, 30 years in relationship to family? What has changed? Babies out of wedlock. So if Michelle Goldberg says, I plan to have a baby or have a child, one of the things that she didn't do in this is we make a conclusion based upon omission, whether it's really true or not, is that we don't know her marital status. She hasn't mentioned it at all. And so we don't know but what that she may be doing something that's not so much different than one of the things that showed up in, I don't remember, today's newspaper or something in the news, that there's a fellow down south who had 30 children, and I think he had 9 of them in the same year. Now think about that. If you're going to have 9 children, or even 4 children in the same year, really one busy mother, isn't it? Okay. And so with that situation, we are living in a world where there's a culture that says, well, if you're not married, then you have 2 or 4, and I think this fellow had 11 different ladies involved in this to have 30 children. And he's thinking about quitting having children. You know why? Too much alimony.
Too much child support.
Too much child support, but you know what he's making? Basic wage. Minimum wage. And so one of the mothers gets $1.45 a month. Okay? And so what we're talking about here is that the most they can attach from this fellow is 50% of his wages. Well, now, if you're having minimum wage and you're losing half of it, he's having trouble living on his own, supporting himself, is really what's saying here. And so he's gone before the judge and saying, please give me some relief. Now, what does the Bible say about marriage? Why do we have marriage? What's the Bible's opinion on marriage?
I think Paul said that marriage was for everyone.
Okay, and that's right. And that's an important point that we have to have this morning before we're done. Marriage is not for everyone. Now, let me ask you a question. If marriage is not for everyone, does it mean children are not for everyone? I'm talking about birth children.
I like to think of marriage as for the smart people.
Well, you have to be careful with that because you have to be careful with that. But in the case of this fellow who had 30 children, I think there's a lacking of smart somewhere there, maybe. Okay, at least wisdom when we're talking about that. Yeah, there are 11 ladies, yeah.
nine
in 1 year. Well, they said in the article he was quite a ladies' man. They said in the article he was quite a ladies' man.
I guess whatever Webster says about ladies, probably these weren't ladies.
Okay. Now, what does the Bible say? If you're going to have children, if we go back to Genesis or somewhere like that, Genesis 2:24 and Genesis 3:20. What does the Bible say there in relationship to this kind of a thing? Right. Right. Okay, now he's made a statement here. We're still not turning away from these passages. But if you don't bring up a child in a church, and the presumption of that statement is that that's where he learns the Word of God. Where is he supposed to learn the Word of God? In a home. He's supposed to learn it in a home, and the church backs it up. And probably, when we're thinking about that, the church is the place where the parents may get guidance and instruction, and the parents are to feed it to the children, largely, and then they may get backing through the church programs, but the primary place should be through the families. That's Deuteronomy 6, 4, 5, 6, and so on. We can go to that in a minute. But Genesis 2:24, who would read that?
Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh.
Okay, now why is that important in relationship to this article that we have? If this lady who is Michelle Goldberg, if she means what she says, I will have a child, or plan to have a child, then there's a missing element that's involved here. She really should be saying we. Okay? She really should be saying we. We shall have a child. There's a missing element that's involved in that statement. Yes. True. And then we could go to Hannah on that one when we go to 1 Samuel. And that would be an issue that's involved there because Hannah wanted a child. In this case, she was married to a man who had two wives and she was without a child. And she went for a long time desiring to have a child, and the Lord finally provided that. And then after that, she had sons and daughters. But she really pleaded with the Lord to have that child. And he didn't have to necessarily give her that child, but he chose to because of the heart that was there, apparently, and that she gave that child to the Lord. Now, when we have here 2:24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one. They shall be one. That oneness is a key. That's why I was going back and said that Michelle Goldberg was misstating what she should be stating when she didn't say we and indicate a husband or even name a husband, but at least indicate that she wasn't doing it by herself, because she was not understanding the one flesh, that the husband, that a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave unto his wife. And that's the foundation for children. And we go to 3:20. Genesis 3:20, just over the page there. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And so here we have a situation where the two shall come together and he shall cleave to his wife. By the way, notice where the indication of responsibility is. He is to cleave. And the presumption is she says, okay, this is great, let's do it. But he has the responsibility. And then secondly, we find that she is the mother of all living. So the presumption is a man and a woman come together and that they shall become one flesh. Now, if they become one, there's also another presumption in this, is that when they become one, then if there is a division, we find that they're, you know, what would happen if someone cut you in half as an individual? What would happen if someone cut you in half? We would have at least serious problems. At least serious problems. Now, the point of this is that we're talking about families and children here, and we're saying that the mother she was the mother of all living. Now what we're doing is we're arguing between these two people. We're arguing between Michelle Goldberg, and we're arguing between Ann Romney. Now, Ann Romney's theology, where does that come from? Where does her theology come from? She is a member of the Mormon Church. Now, the Mormons, we have to understand this now. If you take the theology of the Mormon Church, there's a lot of contrast and contradiction between that and the theology of Grace Baptist Church, or what we would call Christians. Now, they will call themselves Christians, but they are not Christians from a biblical, purely biblical point of view. They add on another book, and then they add on the sayings of the bishops, and then they add on, okay? They add on all of these things to the Bible, and they say that the Bible is of least importance to these other things. And that's what separates them apart from being technically Christian. They also have a different theology as to who God is and where He comes from, and that they do not hold that Jesus Christ is the one and only God. They also have in their theological framework other gods. So that makes them not so much different than maybe some of the other religions that are out there that the Bible speaks against. Now, one of the things that's unique in relationship to the Mormons as compared to maybe Buddhism or something else like this is that they still hold to many things of the Bible, although ultimately they interpret it from these other sources. And so we would have to understand that Ann Romney, if she holds to Mormonism, she is not technically a Christian, though she may call herself one. Now see, this is where we have to be a discerning people. All kinds of people will call themselves Christian, but technically, according to the scriptures, they're not. And this is where we've run into trouble over the last hundreds of years, really, but even in our previous century. We have a lot of people who will say, I am Christian, but based upon the definitions of the Word of God, they're not. They're not. And so that's where you would find in the scriptures where it talks about profession of faith, but not. Profession of faith isn't enough. It has to be according to the obedience of the scriptures. And so now all we're doing is we're defining Ann Romney from what she says she is and from what that means when, if she's following what she says she is, to the fullest extent. Now, we could take Michelle Bachmann, and she is not at all inclined to take the biblical point of view on much of anything. So now, what would be her religion? I'm not Bachmann, but Michelle Goldberg, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to get mixed up with the senator. She's getting into this too a little bit, but it's not really what we want to take up. Michelle Goldberg, what is her religion if she is mocking the idea of motherhood from the sense that we would understand goodness of motherhood and is in sense that a Christian point of view even would be thought of? What would her religion likely be? Now, she doesn't state it, so we're going to have to make presumptions when we make these kind of discussion. Humanism.
She was stating the fact that the state is going to take care of her child because she has all this listed all those things at the end, the daycare and the health care, and that's all important to her.
Okay. That would be the point of view of humanism. And there's a couple other descriptions that could be given that were similar to that she would be. Now, in this case, who's supposed to take care of the children from a biblical point of view? The mother and the father. So who's supposed to teach them how? The government or mother and father? So a young lady grows up, she learns what she does or doesn't learn what she does. She gets married, has a child, and then in this case, Ann Romney's mother came for 2 weeks to kind of teach her the ropes to get started on mother and father. And we would probably agree, and this is one of the reasons pastors frets because his kids are a little bit too far away, he can't put a thumb on them. But remember now, it also says a man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one. So when we're involving mother and father, it's not that mother and father control, but they might still do some teaching when there's a question that's asked. And they might do some teaching even when there isn't some questions that are asked, but they don't come back into the home of the new couple and take over. And so when Ann Romney's mother came for the 2 weeks, she was probably in some senses there and doing a, you know, firsthand work in relationship to the new child. But then she says, Ann, you're on your own. See, she understood, whether for whatever reason, that Ann Romney was the mother and she was to do her own child care and taking care of the children. And mom left and she was truly on her own. Now, I don't have any question in my mind that Ann Romney was on the phone many times. Or if it was the old days, you wrote a letter and got your answer back in a week. But there's no question in my mind that kind of stuff has gone on over many years. But the mom and the dad who came together and became one, they took the responsibility, or they were forced with the responsibility, to carry on and to raise those children up to maturity. Now, then in the second stage, or the third stage maybe, when they have grandchildren, it was the other way around. That was their job to go and maybe teach and then get out. But that would be, as I would understand it, a scriptural point of view that we should consider. Now, see how we're thinking these things through? We're looking at it from the religious point of view, because even those who say, I don't go to church, I have no God, they're trying to tell you, I don't have a theological point of view. Oh, yes, they do. Everybody has a theological point of view. The theological point of view is, I either accept God's opinion or a God's opinion, or I don't accept any God's opinion, but then to refuse the things of God is also a theological point of view, and it orders the way your life is. They're all responding to the Creator God with a theological point of view, either one of acceptance, rejectance, or disobedience. So this is important that we keep this in mind. Had my mind to go somewhere and I lost it. Oh yes, here it is. Proverbs 31:10 and following. Don't have time to really get into this, but we're going to talk about it just briefly. One of the issues that was raised by Michelle Goldberg in relationship to Ann Romney, and this is what came up in the very beginning, is that Ann Romney has never worked a day in her life outside of the home. Now, if we take Proverbs 31:10 down to the end of the chapter, and you read the issues that are related there concerning the virtuous woman, one of the things is that the virtuous woman may not necessarily be home all the time. She has the responsibility of raising her children, just as the man has the responsibility of raising the children, and Proverbs gives all kinds of illustrations to how each are to respond. It says in verse 16 of chapter 31, she considereth a field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out at night. Merchandise, wait a minute, she's a store owner? Well, maybe not a store owner, but she's doing work out of the house. And she's interacting with people outside of the house and is contributing to the welfare of the home in a very serious and very real way. Now, if Michelle Goldberg has a child, she's not going to be any different in relationship to the child and working outside of the house unless she abdicates all of her responsibility as she would like to do. Well, I'm going to have a child. I'll have my maternity leave. How long is maternity leave? Usually. 6 weeks? Okay. So I have my child for 6 weeks. Now the government, please, oh government, take my child and raise it for me, and I don't have anything to do with the child except for a few hours a day, and I'm going to go out and work. I don't think that the Proverbs 31 necessarily is that opinion. Now, it doesn't mean that there isn't in those days they didn't. This is something new where we have daycare. And so the husband and the wife both leave the home and go do their daily work, and then the child comes home at night and that kind of thing. Now we also had what we called nannies and other kinds of people who used to come into the home. And so it's not that this isn't something that's new that we have today, but still the responsibility comes to the point of view that it appears to me that Michelle Goldberg is saying, I have this which takes priority over my child. And I think Proverbs 31 says is that the child is part of my priorities and very much my responsibility, and I'm not abdicating that, but I may be getting some help because I'm doing all of these other things which God does not disapprove of. And it probably has to do with attitude more than it has to do with function in detail. And so there's a lot of things to think through. How, if we were to start today, and I don't think most of you would do that, if we were to start today in relationship to a family, there would be things that we would have to choose, and how and why we would do it, and where we would assume our responsibility. It appears to me that Michelle Goldberg probably, based upon the way she states it, is saying, yeah, I want to have some children, but you do all of the responsibility. That seems to be the indication that she is more inclined to have, and that is not too far-fetched from the opinion of many who are in college and talking about having family in the future and those kinds of things. Now, what we're doing is we're talking about how do we reconcile our thinking to the point of view of God, and how do we meet all of these things? And a lot of it may be in relationship to degree of our attitude as much as it has to do with our function. And this is a difficult thing. I mean, we can get in a big fight over this if we want to, and we don't want to do that. But we have to say, what is my thinking? How is my mind? Is it God's mind, or is it my mind which is operating according to the humanist point of view, which is a religious point of view, which we are kind of presuming that Michelle Goldberg is operating under. And by the way, when we're talking about this now here, we haven't talked with Michelle Goldberg, and she hasn't been in here and discussed all of her points of view. We're only taking what she wrote and comparing what the description is here and saying, how do we teach ourselves to think and to do right as we go about our duties? And by the way, the same thing's true with Ann Romney. We don't know where all this is going and exactly. So what we're doing is we're making issues and talking about them so that we can think with a discriminating mind and end up with right conclusions that's pleasing in the eyes of our God. And that's tough to do. So I probably have meddled way too much already this morning. But I'm hoping that we can think through these things, because we're going to face all kinds of this in this coming year. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we might be able to be a people who can think through things so that we might have right actions and reactions ourselves based upon looking at what's out there, but also knowing that your word is first, and it must be first in our lives, for we fear you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.